So let's review. Let's review the what do you call it? The particular issues I want to work on today. And let's hear what everyone came up with, because everyone had so much time to prepare. Okay, so Rashi indicates that horizontal placement of the mezuzah is a problem. Vertical placement is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, simple. Tosus comes along and says, well, one second. Now, we'll just start with this part. Tosus comes along and says, yeah, but we see by the Aron, we see by the Sefer Torah and the Luchos and the Aron that they were lying prone. They were horizontal. And he brings other examples from that Tosfos to demonstrate that the horizontal position is really mechubad. That is really the position of honor. So his question on Rashi is, how could Rashi say the mezuzah is supposed to be upright? What do you mean? It's supposed to be horizontal. So therefore, you have a crazy machlokas, because Rashi maintains that it needs to be upright, vertical, and Tosfos says it should be horizontal. And what does Rashi do with the kavod issue? Does Rashi suggest that there's no idea of kavod by a mezuzah? Or does he agree with his idea of kavod, but somehow it being vertical works for him? That's the first thing we need to explain, okay? That's the first thing we have to explain. So what do you say? What do we say here? Let me just review what's being said up to this point, because I have a different approach, okay? What's that again? One approach you could take for this, which I see that is a very popular approach, I just disagree with it because I don't think it's a smooth understanding of machlokas, right? But one approach you could take is you could say, well, you have two variables here. You have the efficacy of the mezuzah, and you have the fact that it is a chefza of whatever, of kedusha, okay? So now you have these competing elements here. So Tosa says, okay, well, we're going to go with the object. The object is a mini Sefer Torah, so therefore it has to be in a position of kavod, right? Whereas Rashi is going to say, no, we're going to go by maximum function of mezuzah, and as a signpost, it's going to be, it's limited in its function if it's horizontal, right? Right? But if you go down that road, then there's a deficiency in each side. There's a pro and a con, okay? Which, I mean, you could approach it that way, but I just don't think that's the right approach. I mean, I shouldn't say not the right approach. That's not the approach I have. I don't have that approach. I think, okay, I think there's another approach you could take, okay? There's one road you can go down, which is, we'll call it the Klar, Lichter, Granik, whatever, road, which is to start creating two standards, and then get into the issue of which standard wins out, right? I just don't like those approaches. Sometimes I'm guilty of using those on occasion also, but I don't think that you need that here. I want to posit that Rashi does incorporate kavod into the mezuzah. He does. And that the machlokas is, what was that? Wait, let me find, the machlokas is going to be centered around when we understand the idea of kavod and the mezuzah, there's two perspectives you could take. I want to say that kavod, that their point of contention is about the expression of kavod itself, not whether which variable is more important. Let me throw out a possibility. Just a possibility. So Tosos is easy. Tosos is going to say that the greatest kavod for an object is for that object to be in a position of lying down. So to use a granic line, if I ask the object itself, what do you feel is the greatest position of kavod to be in? It would say horizontal, okay? So vis-a-vis the object, the greatest state of kavod is to be in the position of lying down, okay? Right? That's Tosfos, okay? But it is interesting. It's interesting you guys missed this, right? I want to say that according to the way you guys are saying, Rashi would not be bothered by it being diagonal, according to what you guys are saying, right? Rashi would say that diagonal, right? He wouldn't even be bothered by that. And I mean, right? He wouldn't. I want to say no. I want to see Rashi does want it standing upright, because there's another way you could look at kavod. Okay, what's the other way? So what's the other idea of kavod that we know? I mean, let's make it very simple, right? Like what do you call it? In other words, it's interesting. Think about it for a second, right? The position of the Torah. What? Okay, so we know that. Forget Rebbe. Let's take a Sefer Torah itself. It's an interesting thing. Tosus would say that when the Sefer Torah is in the Aron, it should be prone. It should be horizontal, okay? Now, what happens when the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron? What do we do? We stand, right? Which is doing what? We're expressing kavod to the object, right? We're saying, standing up demonstrates that this object is important, right? I understand. So what would, you're right. So what's Rashi therefore saying? Why should the position of the mezuzah be vertical? That Rashi's going to say the greatest expression of kavod, if I want to show that something's important, what I do is I stand up for it, okay? So Rashi's saying that when something is, let's say, like using Tosfos as an example, right? When something is lying down, he agrees that normally speaking an object, right? He can't disagree with the idea that normally speaking an object itself, vis-a-vis it, right? Vis-a-vis the object, to be in the greatest state of kavod should be horizontal. But maybe he's saying by mezuzah, right? He's saying by mezuzah that they incorporated the idea of standing up for something into the very position of the mezuzah itself. Meaning the position of the mezuzah reflects that idea of kavod. Not the idea of kavod that normally would apply to an object. Rather, and I'd say it's because you're walking in and out. Because when a person, you're right, he is standing up. But as he walks in and sees the mezuzah, right? They incorporate the idea of my expression of kavod to an object and the very position of the mezuzah itself. That idea is expressed in the halachic position of the mezuzah. I think that's a good way to put it. In the arena of moving, of movement, the movement kavod is standing up for something. So the mezuzah incorporates that idea of kavod. There's one to say for Torah is lying prone in our own. I don't have to stand up for it. There's no idea of standing up for it. The very position itself is its expression of kavod. But according to Rashi, Rashi is saying, yeah, but if you look at, that's why you guys are right when you said it's a functional idea, but I just don't think it's separate from kavod. What I'm saying is that since the idea of mezuzah is I'm walking in, transitioning from outside to inside, so now when I see that object, right, so the fact that it's in a standing up position relates to that idea of kavod. It's like I'm in the moving position, so now, so too, the mezuzah reflects that idea of kavod versus saying that it's the normal vis-a-vis the object itself. So going back to Darius's point, to put it in simple terms, it's a question of do we go by the status of the object itself or the way that Gavra relates to an object to kavod? Just to emphasize what you were saying, David, is that there is no normal position there's no normal position for this thing called mezuzah. In other words, Tosfos is saying if you look at it as a holy object, right? So holy objects belong in a prone position, but Rashi's saying, but there's no prone position when we talk about putting an object in a doorpost. It doesn't lend itself to this idea of prone position. There's no idea of position of kavod vis-a-vis where the object is located. That just doesn't exist by mezuzah. Tosfos would have to say that, well, I don't know. That's a good question what Tosfos would say to that. But that's Rashi. I think that's Rashi's point. Okay? Actually, you're segueing right into the Rambam's point. In other words, I would argue that's why the Rambam doesn't mention, he doesn't care about the position. You know why he doesn't care? Because I don't think the Rambam holds that kavod has anything to do with this area. I think the Rambam will maintain that okay, it's a nice idea, it's a nice philosophical concept about kavod, but what does that have to do with the halakhic position of the mezuzah? It doesn't matter. There's a Rambam, I don't think the Rambam, I think the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos Rashi is whether we incorporate kavod into the position of the mezuzah at all. The Rambam says, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no kavod to speak of here. It's a mezuzah. It's of course, you have to be respectful, but I'm saying that to start getting into the position of it, he doesn't look at it that way. Now, the harder position is going to be Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, right? What does Rebbe Yehuda Nasi hold? Why does the Gemara even have this? Yeah. What's Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's position then, according to Rashi? It's a very funny thing. Take a look at the tour for a second here, okay? If you take a look at the tour, where is he? He's, He says, if you look at Hilchos Mezuzah Siman Reish Pei Tes, right? So he says, that's very funny what the tour says. This should have really set off an alarm right over here. The tour says, V'hamadaktikin yotzin yidei shnehem, right? V'kovin chetzia bezakifa, v'chetzia b'shchiva kenun, right? So if you want to be Yotzei Boshitas, what do? You make it look like a Nun, or an L, okay? You look crazy. I was looking for him. But one second, but let me ask you a question. But according to Rashi, right, there was a corner Rashi, that was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's position. Right? In other words, it's very odd. Rav Yehuda Nasi held that in his house, all mezuzahs were like an L, right? So the Torah wants you to think that to be Yotze both Rashi and Tosfos, right, make it into an L. But the Gemara itself says that Rav Yehuda Nasi did that as an ideal, not as a compromise, not to be Yotze both. So what was Rav Yehuda, so how do we understand the Torah, or what was Rav Yehuda Nasi's chiddush here? Why is an L a superior way to make a mezuzah? I think the Torah would say, if you're going to compromise, that you're getting both aspects of kavod. I don't know if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would say that. Because remember, Tosfos introduces the idea of kavod into the conversation. But Stam reading the Gemara, there's no idea of kavod here. So forget kavod. Why is the L the best way to do the mezuzah? Let me be clear. What I'm saying is like this. There's two ideas you have to define here. Okay. One idea is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's L, okay, which is not a compromise. It's not a compromise. He's saying this is the way to do it. The Torah, the other way thing to define is the Torah's idea of somehow the nun, and we'll get to diagonal in a second, right? Why that is a satisfactory compromise and what that's trying to accomplish. But that's not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's position, because the Torah should have just said, do like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It doesn't say that. So what's the simple pshat is that think about it. To have a bi-directional or two-directional mezuzah placement maximizes your visibility, right? In other words, it's the greatest way to see the mezuzah, because now it's occupying, so to speak, the greatest amount of visible area. That's got to be what Yehuda Nasi holds. He's saying that exactly, it's in two dimensions. That's what Yehuda Nasi is saying. He's saying that if you want to maximize the visibility a person will have when he walks into the house, make the mezuzah in two dimensions, right? A two-dimensional mezuzah, you won't miss it. It's impossible to miss that mezuzah. You know what I mean? You're maximizing the visibility. But that's not a compromise, right? That's taking the idea of the function of mezuzah and maximizing it. That's why Yehuda Nasi is like a kiyum. He's like saying the kiyum is to create the greatest area of visibility. Okay? That's not what the Torah is saying, right? That's Yehuda Nasi's position. I think what the Torah is saying, wait, hold on, Darius, just one point. I think what the Torah is saying is a critical point. Because what the Torah is saying is that, and now you can understand why the diagonal approach would actually make a lot of sense. It's funny, the Torah suggests making it like a nun, okay? But that's a funny compromise, because if you make it like a nun, so how is that, why would that be a valid compromise to Rashi and Tosfos? Very good, David, you jumped a step. No. If it's in the nun, so I'd say the nun is good, because you would say I have both positive aspects of Rashi and Tosos, but I also have the psul of each one. In other words, the vertical part of the mezuzah will look at the horizontal part and say, that's bad. And the horizontal part of the mezuzah will look at the vertical part and say, you're bad. So while you're both getting the positives, you're also putting in the negatives. That's why I think diagonal is a very, very sharp idea. Because the diagonal idea might be saying is that, well, we're going to avoid, it's a funny idea, by doing the diagonal, right? So we avoid any idea of psul whatsoever in the mezuzah. There's no psul in this position, right? In other words, why? Because you can't say, it's not that it's, in other words, Tosos' kasha and Rashi was that it can't be upright. A diagonal mezuzah is not upright, right? And Rashi would say, well, it's not horizontal either. So it could be the idea of it being diagonal is to avoid the entire machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Again, note, the Torah says make it like a nun. But that incorporates both the positive and negative aspects of Tosos and Rashi. You could argue that diagonal avoids the issue entirely. Because in a diagonal state, you can't say it's lacking A or lacking B. Both psalms cease to exist because it's not horizontal, nor is it vertical.